Alison Hill, Waltham Forest Socialist Party, one of Boris Johnson's key weapons in trying to deflect attention from his many lies and failings is to boast about the covered vaccination scheme. The efforts of the scientists who developed the vaccines are to be admired. It illustrates that, if you invest properly in research and development, many other important drugs could be developed quickly. The Vaccine Manufacturing and Innovation Center was built in 2020 with $200 million of government money and is run as a not-for-profit company. Big business couldn't deliver a vaccine in time, so the public sector did. Now Boris wants to sell it off. Clearly government needs to work hand in glove with the private sector, he said. It's more like hand in wallet. This disgraceful fiasco shows that the Tories' mission to break up and privatize the NHS is continuing unabated. And, disgustingly, they are using the achievements of healthcare workers in keeping the NHS going through a pandemic as a smokescreen for their attacks. The health and care bill is going through the House of Lords at the moment. It is the brainchild of Simon Stevens. Capitalist parties. Stevens has been happy to work with either of the main capitalist parties to privatize the NHS. He was Tony Blair's health policy advisor, and was later appointed NHS chief executive by former Tory Prime Minister David Cameron. Stevens was president of United Health Europe, while Boris Johnson's health policy advisor Samantha Jones is former CEO of Centene. Both these companies administer public funds in the US through health maintenance organizations, HMOs. The health and care bill will create 42 new integrated care boards, ICBs, uncannily similar to HMOs. If these had been implemented prior to COVID, they would have left the NHS pandemic response disjointed. Private companies will be able to be part of the ICBs. ICBs will decide how the budget will be distributed. And they can use provider collaboratives, which is just Tory speak for more private companies. Bearing in mind that companies like Serco, Capita and many more are already all over the NHS, the concept of a universal and comprehensive NHS is fading away. ICBs will not meet the needs of their local populations. They will have no explicit duty to provide, for example, emergency services for everyone in their area. They will be able to pick and choose who they serve. No doubt they will continue their current practice to take all the relatively easy cases to treat and hive them off to the private sector, all paid for with public money. The pandemic has allowed these companies to slide more firmly into the NHS. A testing station may have a big NHS sign outside. The workers may have NHS on their shirts, but they are working for Serco. Services for infectious disease control and public health in general have been cut to the bone by successive governments. When the pandemic started, there was no way of running an effective test and trace system. Capacity in the NHS laboratories was not there. What about workers? Instead of rebuilding that capacity, the government threw $37 billion to the private sector, often to companies with no experience in this work. Serco alone got $350 million for managing test centers. Serco's shareholders got $17 million and the chief executive got $4.9 million. Meanwhile, the workers actually doing the work are often poorly paid, on temporary or zero-hour contracts. They have found it difficult to find who they are actually working for, the recruitment agencies sometimes changing every few weeks. This is a useful arrangement for these companies wishing to minimize their tax responsibilities, but a nightmare for the workers trying to sort out a proper tax code or holiday pay. Of course, precarious working and low pay are the weapons the bosses use to maximize their profits. But workers are fighting these methods by organizing in the trade unions. Look at the impressive strike action by ancillary workers at Barts Health Trust in East London, see pages 6 to 7. Serco pays them as little as it can get away with, less than their fellow workers on NHS contracts. And these methods are not confined to porters, cleaners, etc. Many NHS trusts and commercial GP surgeries are forming companies to supply services like physiotherapy, laboratories, and diagnostics. Temporary insecure employment is no way to run a proper health service. Patients on long waiting lists are being softened up to the idea of seeking treatment in the private sector. One of the most shocking things, when the pandemic started, was the thousands of needless deaths in care homes. Elderly people were being discharged back to care homes without being tested. But care homes, in spite of being a multi-billion industry, are founded on low pay and precarious working. Agency workers were working in more than one home a day, often with inadequate PPE. If you had COVID symptoms, but you couldn't get sick pay, you had to work. 83% of care homes are run for a profit, often by multinational chains. 5,500 different providers operate 11,300 care homes. Sold off NHS and local authorities have closed, or sold off nearly 500,000 care home beds through the cuts of previous decades. Community and long-stay care is even more privatized and fragmented in the UK than it is in the US. The NHS, one of the most important achievements of working-class people, is being undermined and blatantly sold off. The expertise and dedication of healthcare workers is being offered up to ruthless multinationals. These companies have honed their business plan in the expensive and ineffective US system. But we can take our lead from the workers who are fighting back, not just for their pay and conditions, but to defend and rebuild the NHS itself. This struggle needs to be generalized. Many people probably don't know much about the latest round of attacks as they rumble through the House of Lords, but they would join a generalized struggle to stop them.